Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all this morning. Bit of a difficult morning, I think, given the news yesterday. Whereas it wasn't actually mentioned in the broadcast what was happening about church services, but the guidance says that churches will be closed for worship. They will only be open for funerals. So some of you will have been hoping to come to remembrance services next week. We have a staff meeting tomorrow. I assume that we will be having something virtually, possibly, but Mark is still on holiday till the end of today, so we won't know. Look out for your emails to see what's happening. And if you know anybody not on email who might have been wanting to come to one of our remembrance services next week, could you please, if you see them, or could you ring them and let them know that it's highly unlikely that we will be meeting? I don't have any other notices, so we will begin. Shall we start with a prayer? Heavenly Father, today feels a bit of a grey day with the weather and the news about this further lockdown. But we pray, Lord, that we will be able to worship you this morning and that we will be able to learn something more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Our opening words of praise come from the psalm, which we would is the designated one for today. Let us extol the Lord at all times.
Let us exalt his name together.
He delivers us from all our fears.
Let us exalt his name together.
He saves us from all our troubles.
Let us exalt his name together.
Those who fear him lack for nothing.
Let us exalt his name together.
Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Let us exalt his name together.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted.
Let us exalt his name together.
He saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Let us exalt his name together.
No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
Let us exalt his name together.
Let us indeed exalt his name by singing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Glory, glory, glory.
the time in our service where we come before God and think about those times when we have displeased him this week. So let's for a moment just pause and consider where we have let him down in what we have thought and said and done. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us.
Lord, hear us.
We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us.
Lord, hear us.
We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us.
Lord, hear us and help us.
May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing together, At the Name of Jesus. And Andrew will now bring us God's word. Andrew, we can't hear you. You're muted. Could you start again, please?
How's that? Is that all right?
Yes, thank you. Can you start again? Thank you.
Yeah. The lesson is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, and beginning at verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him night and day in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He who led them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that you will teach us something from your word today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Today is All Saints Day, when we remember those who have gone before us in faith, and we celebrate the Christians of ages past and our global church family. Normally, I would shy away from preaching on Revelation, despite being someone who could rival St. John if you compare my very bizarre dreams with his visions. But today I thought I would bring this word to you. But before I start, I've got a confession to make. I am easily distracted. We have a lot of meetings on Zoom now for work, and I find myself at times staring out of the window rather than looking at my computer screen, watching the birds in the garden. I even have to confess to you that even when I'm in church, I can find my mind wandering. So-and-so's got a nice dress on. Somebody else has had their hair cut. This sermon's going on forever. And even when I'm singing hymns and songs, I sometimes think about other things. And I have wondered afterwards if the people next to me who'd been praising God had been wondering why I was singing about a loaf of wholemeal bread and 4 pints of milk as I've made my shopping list. And I have to say, I am more easily distracted here at home when I'm worshipping, except when I'm leading services. Because we have an elderly cat who at any moment, and could do so today in the middle of this sermon, come past and cry because he's forgotten that he's already had breakfast and he'll demand some more. Or he thinks that I should open the door and let him out, because why should he put his elderly frame through a cat flap when I can open a door for him? And my daughter might come past with her running gear on. So yes, I am easily distracted. How does this compare with the worship in our passage? It's so different. We have a multitude from every nation, tribe, people and language, all praising God. They've been saved by Jesus, washed in the blood of Jesus, so their robes are white, without any spot, made pure, and they're standing in the presence of God, and they cannot help but worship. Well, that could be it. That's the sermon over. Maybe not. This is one of the easier passages in the book of Revelation, which is a strange book, written in a language which is difficult to understand. And it was written in a time when the culture was very different from our own. Revelation was one of the earliest texts to be accepted into the canon of the New Testament as we have it. And this means that John and its first readers thought it essentially told the same apostolic story and the same apostolic teaching as the rest of the New Testament, according to one commentator. He says that apostolic story is, God created the world in love, but humanity turned away from him as the source of life. Despite this, God constantly reached out to humanity, first through Abraham, and then through the people of Israel. And even though they failed him, he continued to love them and draw them back into the pattern of holy living that he had offered as his gift of grace. Their failures took them into exile, but God brought them home, imperfect people though they were. Yet he promised more, that one day he would come to them as their true king, restore them to holy living by the gift of his Spirit, and fulfill their ultimate purpose in drawing all the nations to him. Jesus fulfilled that promise in his birth, ministry, death, and resurrection, and calls us to be a new international Israel, sharing God's love with all. One day, Jesus will return to complete the work he began and reveal the kingdom of God in all its fullness. Our commentator also suggests that if we think Revelation is a completely different story about the rise and defeat of some contemporary political figure, we are wrong. Many people think it's only talking about the end times, and they look for signs happening now which correspond with what's said. John, who wrote Revelation, lived in what we now call Turkey, in the eastern part of the Roman Empire, during a time of deep uncertainty. There was a threat of invasion from the east. The people had always looked to Rome for their security, but after the civil war in AD 69, there was concern that the Roman Empire would collapse. There was also physical insecurity. Earthquakes were common in the region. Plagues were frequent, and malaria was endemic in the area. Revelation is written in what we call apocalyptic language, a type of prophetic language. Prophetic language often points to the future, but it also points to the present, the way God sees the world at that time. For example, Jeremiah, the prophet, writes at the time of the exile into Babylon. He predicts it's going to happen, and he says why God is going to allow it to happen. He also talks about how God will restore Israel. And then there are places where he also seems to predict the Messiah, Jesus, coming into the world. So the prophecy is present, near future, and future future. And some of the imagery in Revelation comes from the Old Testament, and there are lots of references to the Old Testament writings in Revelation. And then there are differences. So instead of priests dressed in white, we have in our passage many different people from many nations dressed in white, worshipping one God, the one who provides all of their security. He provides them shelter. They will not go hungry or thirsty. They will have their grief and sadness taken away. Jesus is their shepherd. John is writing his letters to communities who will be persecuted, and he is saying they must be ready for it. And although they might face great persecution, they will then in reality come into the throne room of God, worshipping and serving him day and night with great joy. And in the future, all God's people will be together in the throne room, worshipping God. So we have the present, the future, and the future future. John's vision has a great number of people clothed in white, standing for victory and purity. And they're carrying palm leaves as a further sign of victory celebration, in the same way that Jesus was greeted when he rode into Jerusalem. The people cannot contain their praise because of the victory that has brought their rescue. The people are acknowledging what God has done for them through the Lamb, through Jesus. They have been rescued by the victory of Jesus on the cross. And in verse 13, one of the elders asks John a question: who are these people and where have they come from? But then he answers it: these are the ones who have come through great suffering. Their clothes are not white because they have been sinless, but because the blood of the Lamb has cleansed them. The sacrificial death of Jesus has rescued them from sin, making them able to stand in God's presence. And being in God's presence means they will receive his blessings. There is a mention of the temple here, or the tent, but we know from Revelation 21 that there will not be a temple in the New Jerusalem in the future when Jesus returns. Therefore, John is talking about the present and the future, and the future future, as in other prophetic writings. Yes, people are going to suffer. Those people in Ephesus, Smyrna and Pergamon and the other places he's writing to. And indeed, wherever Christians are, they will suffer. But God will protect them from the elements, from hunger and thirst. The Lamb will become the shepherd, like the Good Shepherd in John's Gospel. And God the shepherd in Psalm 23, and leads his people to springs of living water. And in anticipation of the New Jerusalem, John says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So we do indeed have the apostolic story in our passage. However, what does it mean for us today, and what's that got to do with me being distracted in worship? We are indeed suffering at the moment in this global pandemic. Our very freedoms have been taken away. From later this week, we will be further restricted again as we go back into lockdown. Many people are scared. I would say most people are concerned. But when we consider other countries in the world, third world countries, which when we complain about not being able to go out, there are people starving and dying because they don't have our standard of medical care or the food they need. We are quite protected in comparison, and yet we moan and complain. Last week, Mark talked about the Shema from the greatest commandment, that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our strength. God has been challenging me a lot about worship recently, about how it's about everything we do, not just what we do on a Sunday when we come together, either virtually or physically. It's not about whether we like hymns or whether we prefer worship songs. It's not about whether we like the liturgy or not. It's not about whether we like the way a certain person preaches or not. It's not about whether we can sing or we're not allowed to. It's not about whether we can meet or not, or whether we can sit apart or together or have coffee together. Worship is about our whole lives, the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. Do we reflect Jesus? Do we stand in our white robes, or do we let him down? And yes, we all get it wrong. That's why we need to make our confession to him. We are none of us perfect. Surely worship is how we are in our suffering. Can we still praise God for our salvation through Jesus? Can we thank him for our protection and our provision? Can we thank him that one day we will stand before him? Or do we get distracted? Let's try to redouble our efforts this week in our worship to God. And let's begin that by singing, "I offer up my life," as a prayer of commitment to God.
What can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell. Even in part of the day.
I thought today that we would use the longer version of our declaration of faith to remind ourselves about who it is that we worship in every way, who it is that we offer our lives to. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And now we will share the peace. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also,
let's wave peace to everybody.
Peace to you too.
Peace be with you all.
Peace be with you all.
Peace be with you.
Wonderful.
And we continue to worship by singing My Jesus, My Saviour.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I have, never cease to worship.
Stephen will now bring us to God in prayer. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen, you need to unmute yourself.
Let us pray to the Father on this All Saints Day for his church and the world, and thank him for his goodness. Heavenly Father, raise you the families of those who died due to earthquake Izmir, Turkey, and the Greek island of Samos on Friday. Comfort them, Lord, as they mourn. We pray for rescuers who are working in the rubble of the buildings, looking for other survivors. Keep them safe, Lord, and also support those, Lord, or waiting anxiously for news of their loved ones. Also support the nurse and doctors in the hospitals and care for those who have been allergy injured. We raise you, Lord, people in other countries who are still suffering due to other natural disasters, now out in the media spotlight. We thank you, Lord, for aid charities who work to help these people in their time of need. Lord, receive our praise.
And hear our prayer.
We raise you, Lord, the families who mourn the loss of their loved ones who will keep the knockdown church in Paris on Thursday. Comfort them, Lord. Lord, receive our praise.
And hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, pray for Her Majesty's Armed Forces who are still serving in Gaza, Iraq, Israel, Syria, Turkey, other warm-torn areas. Strengthen and keep them safe, Lord, as they do their duties. We pray that agreement can be reached in these places, end the fighting, so further loss of lives is avoided, and the troops can return home. We thank you, Lord, the nurses and doctors in the field hospitals who work to care for those who have been badly injured. Give them the strength, Lord, to carry on. Also pray that you bless and support the families, Lord, whilst their loved ones are away serving their country. We thank you, Lord, for the Royal British Legion, who works to support those who are currently serving, and ex-servicemen and women who are still suffering due to their war injuries and need some help. Bless and God lives our Queen, who is to her all authority, and direct this every nation in the way of justice and of peace, that men will honour one another and seek the common good. Lord, receive our praise.
And hear our prayer.
As we've already mentioned, this All Saints Day, we pray for the church in our village, in our benefits, who have been dedicated to All Saints, Mattershall, Woburn and East Tunham. We now pause for a moment to remember those who have served in these churches who are no longer with us. Bless the current church wardens, Lord, who work hard to maintain the buildings, able worship to continue. We thank you, Lord, that you are still able to meet for worship during lockdown through Zoom. Also thank for the technical skills of Mark, Alan and Leeway to able this to happen. Lord, receive our praise.
And hear our prayer.
We thank you, Lord, the shopkeepers in our village, always there to provide what we need. Be with them, Lord, especially at this time. We thank all those in our village who have helped others during COVID-19. Lord, receive our praise.
And hear our prayer.
We pray for those who are less fortunate than ourselves, do not know where their next meal is coming from, and where they go to lay head in the warm tonight. We thank the Lord for those who work in the food banks to sort and distribute the food to those who are in need. Lord, receive our praise.
And hear our prayer.
We now pause again to write to the Lord any of our hearts who need our prayers this morning. Be with them all, Lord, at this time. We thank all those who are caring for others at home. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all your saints, we commend ourselves, all Christian people, to your unfailing love. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We continue our prayers by saying the Lord's Prayer. Please say the version closest to your hearts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And our final prayer for today. The Lord God Almighty is our Father.
He loves us, tenderly cares for us all.
The Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour.
He has redeemed us and will defend us to the end.
The Lord the Holy Spirit is among us.
He will lead us in God's holy way. To God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory today and forever.
And the blessing. The Lord bless us and watch over us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. And the Lord look kindly on us and give us peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and those we love, and remain with us always. Amen. And our final hymn today, Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy. Your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Worship your holy name. Bless you, time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending.
10,000 years and then His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Come on, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you have a blessed week. As I say, please look out for any notices about what's happening next Sunday. And if you'd like to join us for coffee, please go away and make a cup of coffee and come back and we can fellowship together. If you're not able to stay, have a great week and hopefully see you all next time. Bye for now.